franchise.
Yeah.
For me,
but as
you're paying
him
that much, you have to find a way to protect him, especially in his older age.
Right. And I see that. I think you said it. They addressed it. They just haven't fixed it. And he said they'd have a better chance of fixing it if they included him with personnel input. So we'll talk about this more later on. We've got Dr. Rick Perea, who I don't know if he can solve Russell Wilson's problems or address his concerns, but he has some things to say. I watched the Super Bowl with Dr. P the other day, and he had some interesting observations during that game, and he'll make them publicly next. Yes, and it's time for something we like to do at least once per month, and that's take a few moments to visit with Dr. Rick Perea, the Think One performance psychologist, the preeminent sports performance psychologist in America. And Rick, we happened to be watching the Super Bowl together the other day. You were very kind to invite me over. And as we were watching, it struck me once again that there is a reason that it is so tough in the National Football League to repeat. It hasn't happened in 16 years. It didn't happen again on Sunday. My question to you is twofold. One, why is repeating so tough? Is it more a matter of psychology, or is it more a matter of physical deterioration, or in another sense, did the game the other day show Tampa Bay's psychological strength, or more clearly demonstrate Kansas City's psychological weakness, at least on Sunday?
Well, good morning to you, Orlando and Sandy. Happy post-Super Bowl.
Yes.
Well, it's a combination, Sandy. You know I'm biased in Orlando. You know I'm a little biased because I'm the neck up guy. I'm the psychology guy. And so it's not so much physical. You know, we've talked about this before. In the NFL, everyone can play. All athletes can play. The difference is, what makes the difference is the neck up. If you think about it, I was around two teams from 15 to 16. The Denver Broncos, we win the Super Bowl. In 16, the Miami Dolphins. We had more talent on the Miami Dolphins team than we did on the Broncos team.
Really?
But, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
From a personnel perspective, absolutely. But we didn't put it together. From the neck up, down in Miami, we had a great first year, 10-6, and then Tannehill got hurt, and then, that's what happened. But it's tough to repeat, Sandy, in Orlando, because the mind, the brain, we don't prepare the same. We don't have the same energy, the same thirst in general. And what's really important is brain chemistry. You know, people don't think about brain chemistry enough. Essentially, all of our behavior is a product of brain chemistry. Serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, epinephrine, cortisol, all these different neurotransmitters that are released from the pituitary gland regulate how we think, feel, and behave. So don't forget, listeners, those football players out there are human beings. They're people, and they respond to stress the same way you and I do. And, you know, there's something that happened with Britt the other night, the outside
Britt
linebacker
Reed.
Coach.
Yep.
Yeah, Britt Reed, the son of Andy. You know, he was in an automobile accident. And, you know, there's some charges pending. He's had some issues in the past. He has a brother that accidentally overdosed. So there's a lot of history there. But, you know, I know how important what we call chemistry or cohesion is on a team. And in a room, if your room's not right, and what we mean is linebacker room, D-line room, O-line room, like Orlando would know, if your room's not right, the defense won't be right. If your defense ain't right, the team won't be right. So I'm not saying the reason that Kansas City lost the other day was because of the incident with Britt Reed. But what I am saying is, Sandy, brain chemistry is so delicate. And if we're not firing on all the right cylinders from the neck up, that will impact how I think, feel, and behave. And how I behave is my physical performance on the field.
Doc, you continue to tell us that you're from the neck up guy, right? And
yes, sir.
I just want to ask you, you know, when you're a quarterback of a team and you get a new GM, and you're hearing rumors that your new GM tried to trade for Matthew Stafford and that you were going to be possibly in that trade. Then you see your teammates on the defensive side of the ball, Kareem Jackson basically having comments about Deshaun Watson and having the googly eyes over Watson, and Jerry Jeudy now, a guy that's on your side of the ball that you meet with all the time, the exact same thing. So my question is, what kind of impact, mental impact does that have on a guy like Drew Lock, and what does that do from the neck up for a guy like Drew Lock, knowing all these different things that are happening around him?
That's a great question, Orlando. You know, everyone's different in the way they process stress, the way they process information. And for some players, when they get information that they're being traded, or they want to be traded, or they're not going to be around, it serves as a motivation. But it's a deficit motivation. We call that extrinsic motivation. That's not a good kind of motivation because it's only short term. We call it acute motivation. Chronic motivation or long term motivation is intrinsic or internal. So most athletes that are inspired by negativity, like, you know, I possibly could be traded, that's not a good motivation. But then there's other athletes that, you know, will say to themselves, man, am I good enough? And they will start to question themselves. And there's a word we use in performance psychology, and it's called rumination. And rumination means we think over and over about the same topic. And apparently we feel like we can't flush it. But we have techniques in psychology where we can literally flush thoughts, feelings, and perceptions so we can move on. But again, Sandy and Orlando, there's not a lot of players that really plug into the side from the neck up, because that's really the game changer. You know, I had a player here that came and did an intensive here with us at our facility just last month. And he spent 2 weeks with us, and he went through our program. And he said, Doc, I had no idea what I didn't know. And so there's so many athletes, so many performers, people in general that don't know how to shape their thoughts. But Orlando and Sandy, we have given evidence, research-based techniques that will shape our thoughts. So those players will not ruminate in a negative way when they hear negative news.
I want to read just briefly and get your reaction as a follow-up to what Orlando asked you. This is what Nate Jackson wrote on our website just this week at 1043thefan.com about Drew Lock. Get mad, Drew. Get real mad because they think you're trash and they have no problem telling you. Turn on the TV or look at your phone and there's someone new every day saying you need to be replaced, that you're not good enough at your job to have your job. So get mad, Drew. Get real mad because spite is a hell of a drug. Every fan, every journalist, and yes, most every teammate, whoever threw you under the bus, remember that forever. Don't ever forgive them. Put it down there in the place where vengeance brews and let it stew. And when you come back to work, instead of being everyone's friend, you're nobody's friend. Reaction to that?
Well, I don't like that at all, scientifically, because what that does is when you get mad, you're on the sympathetic side of the autonomic nervous system. And the reality is, and these are facts, these aren't hypotheses or guesses. The facts are, when you're on the sympathetic side of your autonomic nervous system, that's the stressful side. Your heart rate's up, your respirations, you have muscle tension, and you have narrow thinking. That's where stress is born. Like I said, anger will motivate you short term, but it will not carry you over the long term. What you actually want is Drew Lock to be a lover, to love his teammates, to love his coaches, to come out. That's going to put him on the parasympathetic side, where his heart rate's lower, respiration, very little muscle tension. Think about a quarterback. Do you want muscle tension? Absolutely not. So, and then you're thinking very clearly. That's what we call the zone. So anger is not a motivator, Sandy. I know some people think it is. I have people come into my practice and they say, yes, Doc, I play better when I'm angry. I'm
right.
Like, short term you do, maybe for one game you do. But that won't last over a 16, 18-game season. So, I like Nate, great guy, everything, but the science doesn't point that way. The science is very clear. And I have so much anecdotal evidence with my quarterbacks and kickers and punters, right, and all the players I work with in the league, that once they learn to be on that parasympathetic side through diaphragmatic breathing and our techniques, then they're in the zone. Then they're playing at peak level. So for those of you out there that think you play better when you're angry, short term you may, but not over long term.
Doc, real quick before we let you run, could you answer this one in 30 seconds or less? AB, is he fixed? You know, why did it work out with in Tampa?
You know, I tell you what, you can fix cars, but you can't fix people.
Yeah.
He's in a good spot right now.
Yes.
And, you know, as long as he's playing in an ecosystem, an environment that's loving and supportive and builds him, he's good. But if he plays in an ecosystem that breaks him down, he's going to get pissed off, and there he goes into the sympathetic side where his heart rate's up and he's on the stressful side. So as long as he's in a positive ecosystem, he's ready to roll.
Tom Brady is pretty good at creating positive ecosystems, no doubt about it. Dr. Perea, think one quickly on that. What you got going?
Yeah, we're off I-25 Arapahoe Road, Sandy. We work from athletes from 9 to 90, high school kids. I mean, we just get people with their mind in the right spot from the neck up. You can Google us, and we're out there. But, man, we just help people be the best they can be every day.
You're the best.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Our thanks.
Thank you.
There he goes, Dr. Rick Perea. Think one, and some interesting thoughts there. And when we have him on again, I do want to ask that question that we posed yesterday about some of the brilliant young coordinators become head coaches, or in Vic Fangio's case, an older coordinator who became a head coach. And they haven't been able to make the transition successful.